Just thank the good Lord. He's so good to all of us that we're able to gather here. And we're thankful to the Lord for your presence. And we're going to worship together here this morning. Let's stand, if you would, across our building. In a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to continue to pray for Brother Marvin Cooley, continue to pray for him as they've inserted a feeding tube and trying to do a few things to help Brother Marvin. Pray for Miss Marvine as well. We've already begun as a church to embrace her and pray for her and Kevin and all that family. And I know they appreciate your prayers and your love and support. Pray for him. We all know the very common fact of the matter is we're all in God's hands. So pray for him as we pray together this morning. We've had some in the hospital. Continue to pray for Miss Gail Phillips. Continue to lift her up to the Lord. Pray, and some of her needs she's going to have to deal with, learn to live with. And so you just pray for her. And as we pray, been so many tragedies around. You pray for the families that are hurting. On Tuesday, Lord willing, I'll stand before the family of the guy who, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, she's at home. And on Tuesday, I'll stand before the family of the guy who burned up in the house fire. And Anderson, 71 years of age. And so you pray for that family. And we're just so thankful in our area the other night when the tanker overturned and spilled gallons and gallons of gas. That could have been a terrible, terrible tragedy. And we're thankful for that. You know what? God still does take care of us. God's still working. Bow with me this morning. Father, we thank you for the day. And what a beautiful day it is. We thank you for the opportunity that we have a gathering, Lord, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And we gather here today, and Lord, we just gather with all kind of things in our minds and our hearts. And so, Lord, we mainly want to come before you, forgiven by your wonderful grace and washed in your wonderful blood. Thank you, Lord, that when we slip and fall along the journey, that, Lord, you'll dust us off and pick us up and let us live for you, continuing on. And we thank you for that. Lord, we do pray as we think about our children. They'll be leaving camp Tuesday week. And Father, I just pray for them. And Lord, as we're trying to ask folks, just give a little bit extra. Lord, to help send one of them to camp. Lord, we just pray that you'll lay it on the hearts of so many of our folks. Lord, to give that little extra. And Lord, I know that we give extra that you always give us back in abundance. And then, Father, we pray. We do look in the life of our church and thank you for the role of the deacons and the leadership. And Lord, we just pray as we think about men to fulfill those positions of guys who are rotating off. Lord, we just pray. Lord, we know we've been blessed with a lot of new folks. And I pray that, Lord, if they're willing to serve, and I pray that they will be, Lord, because it's not about serving each other, it's about pleasing you. That, Lord, they'll sign up and we'll go from there. We'll pray. We'll see what you have in store for us in the days ahead. Father, we do pray. We pray for those that's in the hospital. We remember Brother Marvin in our prayers. Lord, we lift him up to you as we have prayed every day. And so I pray for him today. Lord, I know that like he, like all of us, our very heartbeat is controlled by you. Our very lives are in your hands. Would you bless Marvin as she's been so faithful to care for her dad. Lord, I just pray that you'll give her the strength that she needs each day. For Brother Kevin, as he stands beside her, Lord, I pray that, Lord, the good thing is you'll never leave them nor forsake them. And I want them to know today, standing on this platform among all these that are standing, they have a church that's praying for them. And so, Lord, I pray whatever the days ahead may hold, you hold the days. And so I pray, Lord, you'll bless in that situation, and we're just glad that Miss Gail's able to come home. But Lord, we know that she has some needs. Lord, we just pray that you continue to minister her. For Mr. Schrantz, Lord, you've been so good to him. Lord, you've blessed him with such a long, long life, and I pray that, Lord, you'll continue to minister to him. Lord, you've been so gracious and kind, and so would you continue to bless him today. Lord, bless others that's been in and out of the hospital, and Lord, we just thank you for your touch. And Lord, we just pray that you continue to touch in a special way. For the Pinson family, we still lift them up before you, knowing that you're still there to help them. And Lord, the Falkenberg family, and Lord, I just pray for that family, Lord, that you just touch them. And Lord, what a terrible way to lose your life. And Lord, I pray for that daughter and all that family that you'd encourage them. Father, today is a good day because we're in your house, and I pray that your spirit would be ever so real. And Father, that would you remind us that everything's okay in our lives because your presence abides here. Now we thank you for this day. We praise you. The choir's already sung. Open it up for us today that you are God, God alone. I pray we'll continue that suit today as Brother Tim leads us. As they play our instruments for us, Lord, may we all get in tune with you today. Then when we leave here, we're going to leave here excited about what you're doing. Blessed now is our prayer throughout all of this service, our offerings and everything that is done. Lord, we'll humbly give you the praise and adoration. We'll bow before you and give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Blessed now is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Tim.
Good morning, Cedar Grove.
Good morning.
Our life, our strength, our hope, all of that is in him this morning, and that's what we're here to celebrate. Our lives should reflect the joy and the hope that we have because of that. So help us out as we sing this morning.
My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. And I will praise you.
Take a minute and welcome somebody in the Lord.
And greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son, but purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
And I sing praises to your name, oh Lord.
Praises to your name, O Lord. and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Give him glory.
I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and great.
Father in heaven, your name is so great, greatly to be praised. And if there's anything, Lord, in our lives that hinder us from praising you entirely, would you please forgive us so that we might be able to do so this morning. It is time to give, and Lord, you've given us so much. You've given us a beautiful day on the outside. You've given us another day of life. For the heart is beating on the inside of our body. And Father, then you allow us to gather in this building, beautiful building, that's dedicated to you and for you. And so, Lord, you've given so much. May we do our part to give back this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
This song is a song about us celebrating our salvation. When we get to heaven, you know, it's our ultimate prize to get to heaven. And that's what this song is about. It's kind of upbeat, so.
Not at all like me. Drag my feet, gonna step high to the other side when I enter that city. Oh my, what a heavenly sight. Gonna lift my hand to the promised land, jump for joy when I see the Lord. Gonna hear a great shout when I hit the ground on the other shore. Gonna hit the ground running, gonna sweep through the gate. Gonna make it in a hurry, I don't want to be late. Got a lot of living to do when I go through. Gotta make it without delay. Gonna hit the ground running, racing through the pearly gates. Yeah! Gonna take a walk, gonna have a talk, gonna have a smile, gonna laugh for a while, gonna be happy forever, my Lord and I know it's gonna be an everyday thing, gathering around God's throne to sing. Gonna be in a rush, for I wanna touch those golden streets. Gonna hit the ground running, gonna sweep through the gate. Gonna make it in a hurry, I don't wanna be late. Got a lot of living to do when I go through. Gotta make it without delay. Gonna hit the ground running, racing through the pearly gate. Yeah, gonna hit the ground running, gonna sweep through the gate. Gonna make it in a hurry, I don't wanna be late. Got a lot of living to do when I get through. Gonna make it without delay. Gonna hit the ground running, racing through the pearly gates. Got got a lot of living to do when I go through. Gotta make it without delay. Gonna hit the ground running, racing through the pearly gates.
Well, can we all say amen? Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for singing for us. The Indian Ocean is the third largest ocean in the world. It has depths of 6,000 to 18,000 feet. And often, very often, matter of fact, 2 to 12 times a year, on the Indian Ocean, typhoons and monsoons occur. And these violent storms go in a circle, 100 to 400 miles in diameter, and wind velocities of 75 to 150 miles an hour, and rain falls in torrents. I mean, terrible, terrible storms. Before navigators learned how to cope with them, there were a lot of loss of ships and a lot of loss of lives. They didn't know how to handle the storms that came up suddenly on the Indian Ocean. But they've learned how to cope with them. Navigators say now, and a sea captain says this, when we run into them, we locate the center and we go around it. And we narrow the circle inside of the storm until we get to the center of the storm. And when you get in the center of the storm, everything is safe as long as you stay in the center. There's dead calm in the center of the storm. In the center is the only place that you are actually safe. Now, Christ speaks with authority and finality to us and says these words, when you're in the center of my will, everything else will always be okay. When you find where God wants you to be, and you get where God wants you to be, and you stay in the center of God's will, let the storms come. Thank God everything is calm in the center of His will. God wants us to find His way. And I'll tell you, I'll make a stiff statement. You might not believe this. I'd rather be this morning in the heart of Africa in the will of God than on the throne of England out of the will of God. Oh, me, the will of God. The will of God. The only way you ever will be happy is to discover God's will for your life and be willing to follow His will. Because if you get in God's will, it relieves a whole lot of tension and pressure and stress when you really actually believe that you are where God wants you to be. Now, I'm going to talk to the church just a moment, and I'm going to ask you, as Cedar Grove, is Cedar Grove in the will of God? Preachers have come and gone. Is the church in the center of God's will? Think about it. Think about it. Lightning has hit the building twice. Are we in the center of God's will? Preachers have come. Preachers have gone. Church doesn't change a whole lot. Is Cedar Grove in the will of God? Things prosper when you're in God's will. And not only can individuals be out of God's will, I think churches can be out of God's will. Let me help you understand something. People say, well, what is God's will? I'll tell you what God's will is not. God's will is not for you as a child of God to stay out of His house and drop by ever so often to see how things are going. That's not God's will. God's will says not to forsake the assembling of yourself together. So God wants us as children to come together. I'll tell you another one. It is not God's will when you get perturbed and upset to hold your money back on the giving to God When the money doesn't belong to you to start with, it belongs to God. You get mad at me, get mad at Tim, and we say, well, we'll show them, we'll just withhold our money. No, you ain't showing anything. What you're doing is hurting the furtherance of the church and the mission endeavors of the church and the work of God's church. Be very careful. You withhold your money from God, God will get his part back. That's not God's will. People say, well, it's God's will for me to just keep my money at home. I can do better things with it. It's not God's will. You say, it's God's will for me. I'll just send my money to these TV preachers and all these people on TV. That's not God's will. God says for you to support your church that you're a part of. That's very clear. And I'll tell you something else that's not God's will. It is not God's will for us to run around with malice and hatred in our heart towards somebody in our family. You know who's in our family? Everybody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of our family. And if they're a part of our family, according to God, we're supposed to love other family members. I don't always agree with my earthly family. I don't always agree with my heavenly family. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'd rather be in the family of God today than out of the family of God. And so that's some simple thing. I had a person to tell me he could see the steeple of our church. He says, when it's God's will for me to go to church, I'll go to church, preacher. I'll tell you one thing. It's God's will for you to be in church. It's God's will for you to support your church. It's God's will for you to love the people in your church. That's his will. And I don't have to give you much scripture to base that. You know that for a fact. It's not God's will to do those things. You realize you can do some good things, but you'll never do the best things until you discover unmistakably clear and exhaust your energy, time, and talent doing God's will. What always fascinates me is there's always a handful of folks who feel like they know God's will for everybody else's life but their own. Church is scary. Scary. If I'm not supposed to be at Cedar Grove, I don't want to be at Cedar Grove. If God doesn't want me at Cedar Grove, I don't want to be at Cedar Grove. And I know you say, that's good. We don't want you at Cedar Grove. But I'll tell you this, listen to me very carefully. It is God who must determine what his will is for our lives. It's God's determination. You can notice what James has to say about God's will in James chapter number 4 in his closing words. Let me give you an example of some people who stepped out of the will of God and what happened to them in the Bible while we turn to this passage. You remember old Lot? He stepped out of the will of God and Lot caused all kind of trouble and got himself in a mess. You remember that? You remember old David? He caused a lot of heartache when he got away from God's will for his life. He took his eyes off of God, and boy, he paid the price for it because he stepped out of the will of God. Jonah, hundreds of sailors almost lost their lives simply because one man would not accept God's will for his life. One man. Achan, wife, children, 36 innocent soldiers, blood stained the sands of the city of Ai. Now, I'll tell you what you need to do if you lived in that day. Explain how you can be out of the will of God to those women who had to try to rear children along because Achan had missed the will of God and it cost them their husbands' lives. Where does God want you? Really, life's too short to wonder. Where does God want you, and what does God want you to do? What does God want for our church? I'll tell you very simply what God wants for our church. God wants us to come together like we've never been together before and reach our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Put our hands to the plow and get our tongues right with God and start reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And quit worrying about minute details that really don't make a hill of beans. If it doesn't have anything to do with man's life and eternity, then we ought not worry about it. That's what God's will is. We don't have to sit and debate in conference, and we don't have to do a secret ballot vote. We're sitting here in a half-dark sanctuary today because of the power of God through a lightning strike that shut down a bunch and burned up some of our lights and our dimmer switches. And I'll tell you one thing, if a power of God can do that with one strike, God can set us on fire too if he decides to do so. And so we need to just get together. Get together. The only time you're to have two teams is on a ball court or a baseball field or a football field. You're not have two teams in the church. We're on the same team, whether you like it or not. We've been bought with the same price. We've been paid for by the red flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole church. And listen, the whole church is out of the will of God if we don't follow the leadership of God. I'm nothing. I'll admit to that. I'll make mistakes. I'll admit to that. I'll say that I'm just a no-count sinner saved by God's grace. But if you'll go stand in front of the mirror, you're just as bad as I am. So we got to determine what God's will is for our life. Preachers can come and go at Cedar Grove. Music men can come and go at Cedar Grove, but until we decide we want to be where God wants us to be, we'll never be where God wants us to be. Never will be. Never will be. Never will be. Could it be that God put us in the dark to remind us that some of us have been in the dark for years of what God's really wanted in the life of the church? What is God's will? What is God's will? What is God's will? There's some profitable watches. There's some things you better watch out for in your life if you're going to be in the will of God. Start with me at verse 13 and look at what it says. Go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year. And we're going to buy and sell and get gain. Stay right there. Look at that for just a moment. Here's what he tells me. That I better watch my assumptions of life. I can assume a great deal of things and it not be God's will. I can assume that you're right. You can assume that I'm right and it not be God's will. You better watch some of your assumptions in life. A doctor called one of his patients into his office to deliver some very important news. And the doctor looked at this young man and he said, I have received results of your tests and I have some bad news and good news. The patient sat there scared to death. He said, can you share with me, doctor, the good news quickly? The doctor said, I'll be glad to. He said, you only have 24 hours to live. And the young man sat there and he gasped a little bit. He said, if that's the bad news, doc, what's the good news? He said, I was supposed to have told you that yesterday. You can assume a lot of things. They assumed that their pathways were theirs to choose. They said, let us go. We're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Oh, they were strutting around like they were in charge. I want you to understand, God has a pathway for our lives. God has a pathway for this church. God didn't call us to be Calvary, and God didn't call us to be First Baptist of Belden. God called us to be Cedar Grove, and God expects us to follow the pathway he has for us. We can reach people that Calvary can't reach. We can reach people that the First Baptist can't reach. They can reach people that we can't reach. It's a team effort and a team affair. And guess what? Quit assuming that your pathway is yours to choose. It's not. God has a design plan for your life. God does. He has a pathway for us to go and trod. And I've got to determine, you know what it says in the Bible? If you go back to Solomon, what Solomon had to say, it says that he will direct our paths. God will. Listen. If there were no crossroads in life, if there were no forks in the road in life, if there were no detours in life, we wouldn't need his help. But I've got news for you. We stand at crossroads and we have to take detours and there are forks in the road every day. And so therefore, we better make sure that we're on his pathway. If I'm out of the will of God, pastor in Cedar Grove, then I'll tell you one thing. My life won't be blessed, nor will yours be blessed. We got to determine what our pathway is. Where does God want us? The steps of a good man or ordered. They were making some assumptions that their pathway was theirs to choose. They assumed that their progress was theirs to control. You see what they said? We're going over to a certain city, and we're going to stay there a year. And that's right, that's right. How do you know? They were boldly, matter of fact, boldly declaring that what they were going to do. Church, have you stopped and realized who controls the continuation of life? It's not you, it's God. I hope I'm able to do some things tomorrow. I may not be here tomorrow. I better not wait till tomorrow. I better not. They made their plans without God. God's nowhere included in their plans. You will not be successful in life when you minus God out of your life. You won't be. My parents brought me into this world, but they have no control over the continuation of my life. My heart will stop when God determines it's time for my heart to stop. And therefore, since He controls my progress, I've got to understand, it's not that I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go do this. We better say, if God wills for me to do this, this is what I'm going to do. And it's not up for me as the pastor to say, we're going to do this as a church. And it's not up to you to say, we're going to do this as a church. It's not up to the deacons to say, we're going to do this as a church. No, it's up to us to say, if it's God's will, this is what we want God to do through us in His church. We make some false assumptions that we're in control when we're not in control of one thing. I'm not in control of nothing, and you're not either. God is. They also assumed that their possessions were theirs to claim. They said, we're going to stay there a year, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. We're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. We're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. It's not yours to claim. If God gave you talent, God gave you talent, you didn't just become talented. If God's given you a house, you didn't just obtain a house, God gave you a house. If you got a job today, as good as you may think you are, it didn't have anything to do with what you put down on that little sheet that you filled out when you were interviewing for that job. If you have a good job today, guess who gave you that job? God gave you that job. God gave you that job. Buy, sell, worthy ambitions. Getting gain, being industrious, having burning desires and ambitions, wanting to be successful in the business world is what they were doing. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with what they said. Nothing wrong except this. It seems cold and calculated and commercial when God is not even consulted. We're living in a commercial life and a commercial world. But I want you to understand something. A decision should never be made without first checking with God. Don't assume that you've got plenty of time. Don't assume your progress is yours to control. Don't assume God is still in charge of your life. False assumptions. Every time we make plans without asking God for guidance, we're asking for trouble. You know something? We must make sure we stay in God's will. I may plan a lot of things. They had it all figured out. Did you know something? They had it all figured out. They had the when, today or tomorrow. They had the where, this or that city. They had the house, spend a year. They had the what, do business. They had the why to make money. They had it all figured out. But the only problem is they figured it out without God. You don't figure out anything without God. Watch your assumptions in life. Look at verse 14. Not only should we watch our assumptions in life, we should watch our attitudes in life. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, you can tell a lot about a person's attitude. You can tell about how parents feel about you if you ask the children. Because children's going to be honest for what they heard. We can tell a lot about the attitude of our church by the attitude of us. And it's not what's said inside the sanctuary that really makes the difference. It's what's said outside of the sanctuary that tells people who we are, what we're all about. Watch our attitude. Watch our attitude. James gives us several significant reasons why we should never pursue our future with the wrong attitude. Here's what he said. Life is unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen tonight, much less next week or next year. The truth is, nobody can predict the future. I don't care if you've got a little gold ball somewhere, you can't predict the future. I don't care if you're into all this astronomy stuff and all this horoscope stuff. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody can predict the future. There's not but one person in charge of the future, and that's God. Amen. Life is one big if. If you look in the center of the word life, L-I-F-E, you find the word if. If. Right in the middle. If. Life is pretty iffy. So my attitude must be this. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I belong to the one who holds tomorrow. Did you get that? Since life is so iffy, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but thank God I belong to the one who holds tomorrow. Life is so unpredictable. What's your attitude about life? Life is also so unmeasurable. He said it's like a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes, the Greek word atmos. Which comes from the word atmosphere, where we get our word atmosphere, which is that invisible layer of water, vapor that encircles our planet. Our lives are like a mist in the grand scheme of things. And a little time is all you have. All you have. It doesn't matter if you live to be 100. It's a short little time down here. Be wise with your time, for he says, it vanisheth away. Teenagers say, tomorrow can't get here fast enough. School will be over with. I'll graduate. Tomorrow can't get here fast enough. The senior says, tomorrow's here already. Life gets gone. The atheist says, there's no tomorrow. The Christian says there's plenty of hope for tomorrow. What's going to happen next week? I don't know. But I'll tell you something. God does. And so since life is so unmeasurable, I'm just going to rely on God, knowing that he's taking care of my tomorrow. Watch your assumptions in life, your attitudes in life. And James says in verse 15 that you watch your acknowledgments of life. Here it says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. For ye ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live. And if it's the Lord's will, we're going to go down into the city and we're going to try to buy a few things and sell a few things and make us a little bit of money. If the Lord wills. For a believer to leave God out of his plans is an arrogant assumption of self-sufficiency. For a church to leave God out of their plans because they think they can control it without him is a sign of an arrogant assumption of self-sufficiency. And I want you to understand something. There's not a person in this building who don't need God, and there's not a church in this county or state who doesn't need God. Just because we sit under a steeple doesn't mean we're where God wants us to be. A tremendous recognition. If the Lord wills it, it will be done. If I will it, it may never get done. If God wills it, it will always get done. He who wills it wills the power to produce what he wills. God does. Is God's will important? You better believe God's will is important. I'm such a firm believer at this. Now you think about this far. This is a very stiff statement, but you listen to this. If I am in the will of God, doing the will of God, and God's not finished with me yet, nothing's going to happen to me. You hear what I said? If you're in God's will, doing what God wants in your life, and God's not finished with you, nothing's going to happen to you. Fire will not burn you. Bullets won't shoot you. Water won't drown us. Planes won't crash and kill us. Automobiles won't wreck and kill us. If God wills it, God will let it happen. If God gets finished with us, he's going to take us home. But until he's finished, we are safe in his will. A tremendous recognition. If God wills. A tremendous realization. We shall live. You know why I can live today? Because of what the Lord said. He said this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. He's the taker of life. He's the substance of life. He's the source of life. And this is the kind of life that has no death. And then there's a tremendous revelation. And do. Did you notice that? And do. You ought to say, if the Lord wants me to do that, what a recognition of the Lord. Oh, we're going to live. What a realization. And do. You don't have to worry about the this and that's with God. God takes care of the this and that's for you. God does. Between birth and going home, God sprinkles the pathway of every life with ample and sufficient this or that's. I thank God for the this and that's that he sends my way. The this and that's that sustains me every day and keeps me where he wants me to do. Are you doing God's will in your life? Once a man stopped, talked to a farmer who was erecting a new building. He asked the farmer, he said, what's the building going to be? What's it going to be? He said, great big old building. What's it going to be? And the farmer said this. Well, if I can rent it as a rustic cabin, I'm going to rent it. But if I can't rent it as a cabin, it's just going to become a cow shed. You know something? God may not want us to live in a rustic cabin. He may want some of us to go back to the cow shed. What's your acknowledgments of life? Verse 16, he says something else. He told us that we've got to watch our adorations in life. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Boasted means an empty boaster. That means a person who boasts about something he thinks he has, but he does not really have it. Any person who goes through this life without God is a false boaster. Here's what he says. And here's what some of us say. We've got it all by it. We got it controlled. We're in charge of things. We've got this thing. We got this thing. We can control it ourselves. We have for years, and we can control it now. Can I tell you something? You better be very careful. there's not but one controller, and his name is God. God can remove me. God can remove you. God could move a whole crowd and bring a whole new crowd if God decided to do so. Be careful about our boasting, our pride. Woo! Look at what we've got. Look at this and look at that. Look at we don't have nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's like two old Texans were trying to impress each other with the size of their ranches, and one asked the other, "What's the name of your ranch? What's the name of your ranch?" And they're sitting there kind of boasting about what they had. And here's what he said. "The Rockin' R, ABC, Flying W, Circle C, Bar U, Staple 4, Box D, Rolling M, Rainbow N, Silver Spur Ranch." The guy sat there, the other farmer sat there and said, "Wow, that's some more name. I've never heard of a name that long. How many head of cattle do you run?" And the rancher said, "We don't have any because they can't survive the branding. You stamp all that on the side of a cow, it takes the whole cow." Can I help you understand something today? It is God's will not for us to boast and brag on ourselves, but it is His will that we boast and brag on Him. Amen. In our worst of worst days, and you think we've probably had some, in our worst of worst and worst and worst and worst days, God's still good. That's how we survive. That's how we're surviving. Knowing that God's in charge of things and we're not ourselves. You better watch your assumptions in life. Watch your attitude in life. Watch your acknowledgement of life. You better watch. You better watch. Always keep making sure you're in God's will. Always watch your adorations in life. But there's one other thing. Verse 17. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is sin." He said to watch your actions in life. One of the greatest sins we have is not doing what God's told us to do. That's just very simple. That's the biggest sin we have. It's not the sin of everything else. The sin that we have is knowing what God's told us to do and just simply not doing it. That's the biggest sin we face. What's God told us to do as a church? God has told us to reach out to the community with love and life. If we fail to do that, we have sinned against God. Not just one person, all of us. All of us. What's God tell us to do? God tells us to be mission-minded. Mission-minded. We fail to do that, then it's a sin. Not just on me, but on you as well. Would it be safe to say, and you probably won't ever agree with this statement, wouldn't it be safe to say that everybody in this room has sinned against God and need His forgiveness? You better discover what God's will is for your life. God will send lightning. God will send fire. God will send tragedy. God will send circumstances to get us where we need to be with Him, if necessary. Be careful assuming there's some profitable watches. Make sure you include God in your plans. I stood with a driver of the tanker the other night, about 10 o'clock that night, who'd rode that tanker, laid that tanker on the side over on Murphy Road. And bless his heart, he was a nervous wreck, and rightfully so. He was scared to death. But he was a nervous, real nervous, because he laid that thing over. All that gas was pouring everywhere. And I stood there and I looked at the fear in his face about how close he came to death. He knew it. But do you know something? All of us in this room may have come closer to death than that and never realized it. our church could be close to death and we never realize it. If God, now God can move me, I know that. God can move Tim, I know that. We're humans. God has a way of opening doors and closing doors. But I'll tell you one thing. Stay with me. Even if me and Tim both were to leave, it doesn't still necessarily mean God's happy with you. I know you're getting mad, but that's just the truth of the thing. Somewhere, sometime in the life of our church, Cedar Grove has got to fill the buildings up and break the 150, 175 plateau where we've been in Sunday school for years and years and years. And the only way we'll ever do that is when we understand God's will is not for me and my four no more. God's will is that the whole community be saved. The whole community. What is God's will? Are you doing it? Help us do God's will. I don't want to be a hindrance to God's will. I don't want to be. And anybody who's right with God would say the same thing. They don't want to be a hindrance to God's will. Because I sure don't want to be somewhere where I'm out of God's will. But I sure also, I've pastored churches who I believe was out of God's will. And we don't need to join the crowd that's out of His will. But let me end on this and tell you this. Even with all the negative things that the devil may have sent our way, God's still doing some good things. You stop, church, look around. We're blessed today to have those who are visiting with us. That's a good thing. When visitors stop and people stop walking the aisle, then your church ceases to have the power of God like it needs to have the power of God. Can everybody say amen? Do you agree? You say, well, I don't fully agree with that. Well, that's the truth. We've got visitors here, and some are back for the second time, and we're so glad you're here. I know I don't always get to speak to you, but we're glad you're here. We've got people walking the aisle of the church. We've got children being saved. We've got things that are happening. God don't want you to stand in the way of that, and God don't want me to stand in the way of that. So God's telling us this morning, are you where you're supposed to be with me? Do you realize, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, I don't think Roger or Mike, I'll just go ahead and tell you. When lightning hit this dimmer panel back here behind this, it's going to cost around $21,000 just to get the dimmer panel fixed and these lights on in this sanctuary, minus the burglar alarm systems and the fire alarm systems and everything. Thank God for insurance, but bless our heart, we're working insurance to death. Think about it. We really are. But let me tell you this. In the midst of all that, God is still doing some good things. And I'm going to ask you if you agree with this, say amen. If you don't have to. It ain't to me, it's to God. And then I'm going to ask you to stand after I make this statement. If you say amen, okay. If you don't do it just to say you're doing it. And I still believe God still wants to do even greater things in the life of you and the life of our church. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Would you bow your heads with me as you stand? Brother Tim's going to come. I don't know what I'm asking you to do today. I know you're sitting there thinking, well, if I go down, it's going to say I'm out of the will of God. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm asking you as a church, would you gather with me this morning and say, Lord, we want your will to be done in the life of our church. And if it takes you changing me, I want you to change me. If it takes you changing my attitude about life, I want you to change my attitude. If it takes you changing my assumptions in life, I want you to help me change. Let's do like the old-fashioned churches used to do and flood the altars and beg God to save souls and beg God to heal the sick and beg God to touch families that are falling apart. Beg God when finances fall apart to come through since He owns everything. Would you just step out today only if God leads you? Don't come because the pastor said come. Come only if God. You want God's will to be done in the life of the church. And it's not your church, it's God's. You want God's will in your life? You're searching for that will. Come on down. You don't have to talk to me. Say, God, help me find where you want me to be. I'm struggling. That's good, y'all. Come on. And when you get praying at the done praying at the altar, well, I just want you to stand right where you are after you can get off your knees. But would you stay there for just a moment today? Just stay right there when you feel like you're done talking to the Lord. Stay right there. Some of these are praying. I want everybody, if you would. Would everybody come this way? Would you just step out? I want everybody down front. Everybody, come down the side. Come down the side. Come on, join us. Everybody. Just come as close as you possibly can. No matter if you're visiting with us, you're a part of us. Come on. Come on. Let's say this today. Does everybody agree that we've got a great God? Do we ever, everybody agree how faithful He's been to us? Help us. Brother Tim's going to lead us in a stanza. Let's sing like we've never sung down at the front of the sanctuary unto God. Listen.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee.
Ah, listen.
Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be.
Now everybody sing out as loud as you can.
Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord.
Brother Tim's going to lead us in the second stanza. When you get to things in this stanza that you agree with, in the midst of singing, stop and say amen. Brother Tim, lead us.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above.
I'll listen.
Join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. faithfulness.
Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
Let's sing this one last stanza. Then we're going home today. Now listen.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide.
I'll sing right here.
Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside.
All right, everybody, this is it.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Well, can we say amen this morning, church? Hope to see you tonight.